Well, let us pray. Journey with us, O holy God, as we continue our way to the cross. Sharpen our focus that our attention may center more on you than ourselves. Fill us with your spirit that we might worship and serve you aright. Amen. Well, they're trying to get things right. It's a complicated world with no easy answers, and they have invested tremendous energy into formulating a way of life which would keep them on the right side of God, which would return God's favor to his people. Oh, but they have to keep Rome happy too, until such a time as God sends his Messiah, a new king for Israel. They have principles, and they care desperately about the fate of their people, but they end up compromising themselves. Who am I talking about? The religious authorities. Well-intentioned people who end up doing something awful, trying to keep safe. Well, more points of similarity with our current national situation. Everything intensified when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And the fear is that he will be so popular that he'll start an uprising of some kind and it'll bring Rome down on them, and Rome will crush us like a bug, which, of course, happens some 40 years later under a group of zealots. And then the temple is destroyed. And the city is razed, and thousands are killed, and others are enslaved. It's not enough to arrange a convenient accident for Jesus. His death must be legal, and nothing that would turn him into a heroic martyr. It has to be humiliating and degrading. It has to make him an object of scorn. And crucifixion, said, fits that bill just right. As I mentioned last week, Deuteronomy teaches that anyone hung on a tree is cursed by God. Well, 6 days ago, we had the triumphal entry, crowds hailing Jesus as the next king. Confusingly enough, we celebrate that next Sunday. While Jesus must be eliminated soon, this demonstration of popular support is unnerving. But the Jewish authorities need help from the Romans in order to do this. And last week, we looked at Jesus' first interrogation by Pilate. Since then, Pilate has had Jesus flogged and mocked. And Pilate is wondering, is this enough to rid me of this messy business? Because just as much as the religious authorities want Jesus permanently suppressed, Pilate wants to hold on to his job and not antagonize the populace. He would like the Jesus problem to just go away. But there are no easy answers, and this is a complicated world. Pilate can find no basis for having Jesus crucified. He presents the bloodied and bedraggled Jesus to the crowd outside his door, saying, "Here is the man." And the cry goes up from the chief priests and scribes and their cronies, "Crucify, crucify." Pilate wants to palm Jesus off on the religious authorities and tells them to do their own dirty work. And then the religious authorities play one of their cards. "We have a law. And according to that law, he must die because he has claimed to be the Son of God." Well, Pilate cares not a whit about blasphemy against Israel's peculiar God, Yahweh, but this scares him. He's heard rumors about this man, and so he takes Jesus back inside to talk to him away from the ears of the religious authorities. "Where are you from?" But Jesus will not answer him. Pilate's afraid, he's frustrated, he's trying to help this man, and really in order to help himself. But Jesus is not cooperating. Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you and the power to crucify you? And Jesus' courageous and eerie reply, you have no power over me unless it has been given you from above. The Tuesday afternoon women's book group were reading a book by Greg Boyle, and this week we came across this line. What made Jesus dangerous in a sense was his lack of fear. Jesus is just not intimidated by Pilate. And despite his trappings of glory and his blustering, Jesus knows Pilate cannot thwart God's purposes. Well, whatever or whomever this Jesus is, Pilate doesn't want to tangle with him. He's never seen the likes of this. Someone not intimidated by the power of Rome? So Pilate determines to just release Jesus to free himself of this mess when the religious authorities play their ultimate trump card. If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor. Well, Pilate cares deeply about what the emperor thinks, and he's already in hot water. Caesar Tiberius has ordered other governors to commit suicide when he hasn't liked what they've done. Pilate doesn't want to get that directive. How can he let a possible rebel king go free? What if he lets this Jesus go and he does start an insurrection? Pilate is trapped in a complicated world with competing interests. Pilate tries one last time to free himself of this mess. He presents Jesus to the crowd again. Here is your king. Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answer, we have no king but the emperor. What a contrast, what a dissonance between the apparently fearless Jesus and these deeply religious men speaking blasphemy in order to keep safe. How do these principled men, these students of the law, these people entrusted by God with religious authority, how do they find those words coming out of their mouths? Listen to the New Testament scholar N.T. Wright on this point. It's a devastating thing to hear coming from the lips of the official representatives of Judaism. The scriptures, songs, and revolutionary slogans of Judaism had spoken for 1,000 years of its God as the true king, of the coming Messiah as God's true king, and of pagan rulers as a sham, a pretense, a bunch of trumped-up idolaters. What would Isaiah have had to say to the priests? And how would they feel the next time they sang the Psalms in the temple? What would they say to the crowds, many of whom had supported Jesus previously, because they hoped he would be the king who would free them from Caesar? Wright goes on to ask us, are we with Pilate, nervously allowing himself to be maneuvered into a dangerous compromise? Are we with the chief priests pressing home a political advantage without realizing that we are pushing ourselves backward into complete capitulation? Or are we with Jesus, silent in the middle, continuing to reflect the love of God into this muddled and tragic world? These religious authorities can be found on the pages of today's news. Sure, they are right. Sure, they're acting to protect the nation, pushing dirty deals. And these ones end up with blasphemous words on their lips. We have no king but the emperor. Expediency is how things are done in this world, but it's not how things are done in Jesus' kingdom. And Jesus calls us to follow him in a messy, complicated world full of competing interests and full of danger. Jesus calls us to be brave in resisting evil. Not my personal strong suit.